You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, the show's about to start. I just need to ask you a massive favor. Please go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. It would be tremendous. Does Christian know I'm doing an ad before the show starts? Absolutely not. Is he going to be upset about it? Oh, yeah. But he won't be upset if he sees a bunch of followers on our Twitch account. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. And I'm going to start playing the show now. And I bet you right when the show starts is when Christian texts me.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but you've got nothing better to do. So watch with Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link.
That'll do. Perfect.
Let's go.
Okay, just a nice. Just get it all out. Just burn out all the energy I have and have nothing for
the little bit
the
that's
show.
Left.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Prem Show podcast. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians. That was the funniest soccer show that has ever lived. Right
yep,
here.
It also happens to be the gulliest, by the way. Right where?
Right here on Twitch, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/soccercooligans or eltwitch.com. Go right into it. Or latinotemperament.com. Also,
almost forgot about that.
Another That's lovely right. website. Thank you for the contributions for people here right on Twitch. We're having too much fun.
Thank you, English announcers, for that wonderful, wonderful URL.
We're excited about today's show. There's obviously a lot to discuss. We're going to be going over the Euros, maybe some Copa America stuff.
We're going over Euros, Myros, everybody's Rose.
Hitos, you know, they're delicious.
gyros, baby. Let's get it.
So, yes, a lot to go over, and we do this with everyone here in the chat. So if you have not watched the show with us on Twitch, do that. It's always a lot of fun. We got a bunch of gyros in the chat, so you love to see it.
Flood the chat with them gyros, my guy.
Do we need a gyro emote now? Because it's making me hungry.
Damn.
So, just a couple of things before we keep moving forward.
Actually, can I make a quick hot take? When it comes to food, real quick.
Oh, I mean, has anything ever stopped you before?
Everybody, buckle your seatbelts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I'm ready.
The Doner kebab better than a gyro.
The Doner kebab, and I've had a Doner kebab, but I don't remember what it is. What is a Doner kebab?
It's essentially it's a gyro style and a slightly thicker, squishier bread invented in Berlin by, I believe, Turkish immigrants.
Okay.
Invented in Berlin.
Shit. Wait, oh, so that is just the big the meat.
That's
thing.
They do the same thing. It's a vertical spit, but they carve it. It's different sauces, a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
This is.
But some people view it. Nope,
no,
that's the wrong one. Some people view. What the hell are you doing? We're not going to be on in 10 minutes.
Why isn't it going to the right thing?
The Stream Deck.
The Stream Deck does it again.
Tim Atchison said, Doner in Berlin is amazing. I'm telling you, we got a great one here in the city.
Okay. Let me see. Let me just figure. I want to get the browser thing up because I will need it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Boom. Now we got it. That's what we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, this is, have I had this? I don't think I have. I've had this.
Oh, we got to go together.
Okay. So there it is. That's the hot take, Alexis.
That's my hot take. Sorry.
Crimson Pizza just said, you put meat in any type of pocket and I'm there. There's room for all of them in my belly.
And don't check my pocket. Am I right?
So before Alexis derailed with the Doner, I wanted to mention to make sure you watch the TV show on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have Sebastian Legette of the LA Galaxy on the show.
And he was thoroughly
sexually harassed by us. Thoroughly.
Yes. He, yes. I mean, look, you're not going to come on to this show without being objectified. Okay. If you're Sebastian Legit. We all know the rules of Sebastian Legit, okay?
Ryan?
No, nobody was surprised except for Sebastian Legit.
Legit apparently was the only one who didn't know the rules about Sebastian Legit.
Okay, and that's on him, okay? For not
I feel like we were pretty clear as to why we wanted him on the show.
Okay, he was not informed, and he should take responsibility for that. But
that's his representatives need to have a conversation with him. And if they won't do it, Christian and I will fly out and do it in person.
So check that out. That will be on TV on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Fubo Sports Network. You can watch on the Fubo TV app or on on FuboSportsNetwork.com. Or it'll be available as a podcast, obviously, on the following day, Monday. So so a really, really fun one to look forward to. Seriously, we not only did we have a really fun conversation, but we did, Sebastian was recently suspended for using the slur,
the P word,
el grito, as they say in the Mexican Federation is trying to get that out of the game. He owned up to it. He talked about it, and it was a really good conversation and an important one to have. So make sure you tune in Sunday on TV, Monday the podcast if you can't watch it live. Okay.
By the way, Rosa Rhythm said, Meat Pocket Podcast, ? And then Tim Atchison said, is that a donor in your pocket or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah, that's what it says on my license. Am I an organ donor? No, officer, that's not what I... I need my organs inside me. I'm just hungry, okay? Okay. Prem Show, excited about today. Before we start with the serious stuff, because we want to talk and take some time to talk about Christian Eriksen, because that really was a wild experience.
Harrowing.
And I think we'll give you our perspectives on it. And please in the chat, let us know how you feel about it as well. But before that, I want to make sure we haven't done this too often, but please leave a review on iTunes if you have not on or the Apple Podcast app. It is helpful. And we got a one that I really liked. This is from Julian Safe. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Apologies, Julian. But it said, funniest American soccer podcast. Said, the Cooligans bring more energy and laughs to soccer than anyone. If you're interested in getting your American soccer news, hot takes, and best interviews, this is your show. Kick it with the gulliest of them all, the Cooligans. Thank you so much, Julian. Much appreciated. That was a very, very sweet review. So
that's so sweet of him.
Well, yeah, we'll feature them from time to time, the nice ones, not the mean ones, okay?
Yeah, because we hit Mark for obscene. And they go away.
Okay, we let people Apple know this. Someone's being problematic. We don't need this on our.
Apparently, this is offensive because their taste in podcasts is offensive to me.
Yeah, it needs to be stricken from the record.
That's right. Also, shouts to Colo Blanco, who is here with us right now.
Best mod in the game.
Absolutely.
And it's his birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, what? Colo Blanco. Colo Blanco is going to be streaming later tonight. So follow Colo Blanco. Celebrate his birthday with him right here on Twitch. So thank you again for all the love and support. Okay. Let's start, obviously, with wait, Neuro Nation just said, I do feel like the American soccer podcast space is oversaturated. Why are you saying that? That's not the review we want.
Yeah, no, I think he's right. It's us and then everybody else, right?
Yeah. Everyone else is, that's where the oversaturation is.
Yeah.
We are the perfectly saturation. We all the saturation you need.
Okay. We are the point of saturation. After that, it's too much.
Yes. So, Christian Eriksen, Denmark is playing against Finland. This last week, Saturday.
Talk to me about where you were when this game was on. Were you just watching this at home?
I'm watching it at home.
I'm watching it at the Airbnb in Tampa with Shane Smith, JF Harris, Shane's brother Jared, and the director Mike. of the special. JF Harris, our friend, shot a special. I was the like MC for that and helped crowd control and getting things going, which was a lot of fun. And I should have charged a lot more. And there was Mac, who's the co-host of the Cowboy Boys podcast with Shane Smith. So no one there really likes soccer. The director, Mike, kind of knew it a little bit. So we were watching on TV and none of them were really paying attention. But oddly enough, moments before this happens, everyone just kind of started watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, okay. No one was really paying attention, but then everyone just kind of started paying attention about maybe like 2 minutes before this happened.
Yeah. So I'm watching it at home. Helene, she happened to be wedding dress shopping. And I was home just watching Nutmeg and watching the game. And initially, I had my laptop and I was looking at my laptop and I just like, I saw when everybody was started surrounding Erickson and like, you know, that because the camera, I think, panned away at some point, because they didn't know exactly what happened. So watching that, I saw him. I heard the announcers mentioning that he fell, that they said that he was injured and didn't know what happened. So I figured, oh, let me just rewind it so I could see what happened. I didn't know if I hadn't even watched enough to see if it was anything serious or not. I just rewound it, saw it. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, bro, this dude died. Like, I mean, that was my immediate reaction. I'm like, this dude's heart, something happened to his heart. And I, you know, I didn't want to speculate, especially online.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, I've never seen something like that live in a game. Like, I've heard of it happen. We know about like Fabrice Muamba, and
watched the Fabrice Muamba thing, and it didn't remind me of that. It seemed, even the Fabrice Muamba thing was wild and it was scary, but he did it while running and like you kind of saw him fall. There wasn't people around him and everyone kind of was like, you know, and I think that there was like sort of that lucky strike about the defibrillator. I think that was, if we've talked about this before, that might've been like the first match ever to have defibrillators. You know what I mean? There was something about it that saved his life. This one was different because when Fabrice Muamba fell, he fell cold.
Mm-hmm.
When the camera zoomed in a little bit on Christian Eriksen, he was convulsing with his eyes open.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought maybe he had a stroke, for some reason my brain said myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack. Yeah, but
yeah.
Why the hell do I know that? I mean, so I immediately thought, like, I yelled out, like, oh, no, I think he's having a stroke. And I'm like, someone needs to stop him from swallowing his tongue. And then I think it was Kier who actually stopped him.
Yeah.
You know, you squeeze the jaw and you hope, because they tell you to put, like, a belt or a wooden spoon in their mouth. But obviously you don't have that if you're out on the soccer pitch. So they was sort of squeezing his jaw to get it to open so he could stop biting his tongue or swallowing his tongue. And you know, when everyone, even the other player, the other team, the official, I believe it was this official's first ever Euros match or, you know, international competition, to everyone calling over, like, all the physios. Like, I don't care what team you're on. They're like, get over here now. That's when you kind of realize, like, your suspicion might be right, that it is worse.
Yeah, I mean.
And I thought when the players wrapped themselves around him to cover him away and shield him from the cameras, which sucks that had to happen. I mean, we'll talk about whether we think it should have been filmed or not. But when that happened, I immediately assumed the worst had happened.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I mean, a lot of people already in the chat are saying it as well. Like, it was one of the scariest thing that they've ever seen. But as soon as I saw it, you know, if people haven't, you know, I didn't really talk about this that much when it actually happened, but about 4 years ago, my brother had a heart attack while he was playing handball. And it was, he was 41 at the time and he's fine now, but like kind of similar. Like he didn't collapse immediately. Like he started already not feeling well and he made it to the hospital, but literally when he got to the hospital, he wasn't alive. I mean, and that was like a difficult thing for my entire family to like just comprehend that my brother, who is like fit, he's not overweight,
he's a professional athlete.
Yeah. So for something like this to happen was just scary. It scared me. It made me go to the doctor more often, make sure my cholesterol.
Hooligans was
okay.
happening at the time, and you told me that, and I was like, my god, because if you see his brother looks like he's in perfect health.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you've seen me, you know, and this guy's having a heart attack. I mean, it freaked me out, you know?
Yeah. And so, and when I saw what happened to Erickson, I was like, bro, this is just, I mean, there's nothing, it's not only tragic, but like all the details. I mean, obviously the stage at where this is happening, mm-hmm. all fans are back in the stadium. His girlfriend, running onto the pitch, his teammate consoling her. Everything about this is just so unbelievably tragic. And then it gets...
It was Schmeichel, right?
And not Schmeichel, was the guy who was doing, who was not letting him swallow his tongue, the same guy.
Oh, Kier?
Yeah. So all these images are just wildly like triggering because, you know, and I had sent out a tweet about this as well, just about how like kind of triggering it was and emotional it was. And really so many people, more people than I even sort of thought, not only were they like sending just like uplifting and kind messages, but a lot of people were like, yeah, I had a friend in high school pass away, like literally, and didn't make it while we were playing, I think, hockey or something like that. Wow. And like how common this is. And it's, you know, some people are mentioning in the chat already about how, you know, if this would have happened somewhere else, it might have not turned out as well. But it's like, it's from what I saw to the result right now. And today, Christian, Erickson posted a message. He said, "Hello, everyone. Big thanks for your sweet, amazing greetings and messages from all around the world. It means a lot to me and my family. I'm fine under the circumstances. I still have to go through some examinations at the hospital, but I feel okay. Now I will cheer on the boys on the Denmark team in the next matches. Play for all of Denmark. Best, Christian." So this is, I mean, obviously it's so incredible to see, and
it's
and
nice. It's like you know, and I believe, I don't know if you remember this, it's feel the crowds cheered, and I don't think the announcers knew what was happening, but apparently he'd like lifted his hand,
yeah,
like he gave a signal, like in American sports it's the thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hurt your neck or something in an NFL game, they tell you like, so that you can let the crowd know you didn't break your neck. Horrific that I had to say those words.
Yeah,
you give a thumbs up and the crowd typically cheers. We didn't know why they were cheering, but this is like doing that for the world. And I do want to bring up Mr. POTUS 5000 said this, and a lot of people are sharing this. And by the way, Golo Blanco says Schmeichel was a part of that as well.
Okay.
But Mr. POTUS 5000 said it was pretty disgraceful how they kept filming it. I both agree and disagree. And I think the only reason why I disagree, and I do think, and I remember, I think I saw the kickoff talked about this, and they were all like, you know, you got to be sick in the head to want to watch it. And I'm not saying I wanted to watch it. I'm not saying that I needed to be, you know, there's nothing I enjoyed by watching it. And maybe I'd feel different if he did pass away. But there was a feeling of like, you got to let people know what's happening. You can't just leave them with the information that this man collapsed and everyone walk away thinking this man has died. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So to me, it's like, yeah, maybe not pulling away. Maybe they should have pulled away, but kept the feed live in case there was like good news to transfer to.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's also the actions of the players trying to get the view of him be chest compressions and all that, while horrific, it's the view of the players, but you know, bonding together and the fans, Christian Erickson back and forth.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the camera on his wife crying is not great, but to see Kier step up and be just a great human being. Like, now that we know he's alive, Christian Erickson's going to get to see that. Christian Erickson's going to get to see this player just really taking care of everything and probably a close friend and really being a captain. So
I agree, and I do think it's in bad taste, and I don't think people should have watched it. I don't think there should have been, like, you know, get in there, enhance, and all that. I don't agree with all that. But I do think, and maybe it's because the silver lining here is he didn't pass away and he's fine.
Yeah.
I do think that there's images that we got that kind of remind you of humanity.
Well, and I agree with that. And you know, I think it's good to be able to find some positives in that. And I also don't inherently think it was, like, evil to keep the cameras on.
Is that because we're American? Because seems like the English are kind of really against it.
Well, a lot of people were complaining about the particular broadcasters, whether it was Sky Sports, whether it was ESPN. But it's UEFA that controls the feed. It is not these individual networks.
But they can pull away to their studios.
They could, but kind of like to what you're saying, nobody really... In those moments, nobody really understood what was going on. So they felt they probably needed to document it and needed to keep that on live television.
I think the reason why the English have such a visceral effect or reaction to keeping cameras on a tragedy is because that horrific fire that happened where people were like pressed up against the fence and they just kept the cameras rolling because they didn't have at that time anything else to go to.
Okay.
They literally had not like, the idea of switch, there was no commercials, it was nothing. There was just, I don't know, but keep it on until the end of the match, and then we switched to something else. They had nothing else, so people watched as people passed away. So I get why that maybe is influencing how they feel now, you know what I mean? And I don't want to make it seem like, oh, it's okay to show bad things on TV, but I do think kids can learn from something like this, you know? An athlete at the highest level of their skill, you think they get every test run on them before everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what the there were statements that came from. So, you know, now that we can appreciate that Christian Eriksen is okay,
right.
I think now there's like the opportunity to kind of dissect everything around it of what's going on because everyone's reacting in kind of somewhat ridiculous ways. The most ridiculous one that I've seen is people, this like conspiracy that that the COVID-19 vaccine is why Christian Eriksen collapsed because he got the vaccine. And it got so bad that Inter Milan, the doctor there had to say, no, he did not have COVID. And he also was never vaccinated.
Right.
So that's how crazy it got because This was such a big story and such a big deal. And also, I want to give some props. I don't know to who in particular. We had tweeted out from our account. I had tweeted it basically saying, like, don't share this video. If you see anybody, like, don't watch this, don't share it. And I have not come across the video again. I have not seen it. I saw it on television, and I've not seen it once online. Which is something that makes me feel good about the future of the internet to some degree.
Kind of unexpected too, because it's usually Twitter is like a place where something like that you wouldn't be able to avoid it.
You know? And I have not seen it again. So, but yeah, that was such a wild, you know, this is what the world we live in, that people are trying to connect or justify their own views based on anything that's going on. Somebody just mentioned, Tim has just mentioned, I was wondering about the COVID situation as well. That is it's a wild, you know, I mean, that conspiracy was already out before anything happened to Christian Eriksen. But yeah, it got to that point. And then the other debate has been...
Plus, if he would have gotten the vaccine, Microsoft would have known about it because of the chip.
Yeah, so, that's right. So there's no reason.
He would have started getting ads for defibrillators and stuff the week before on his Instagram account.
You know how it is. Okay.
Duh.
Okay. So the other thing is about... The other debate was, should they have played the game? Should Denmark and Finland finish the second half to this game? They came back to play essentially 90 minutes after this happened. And that's been another debate because what we were told it's a day of was that that Christian Eriksen was okay, that he was stabilized, that he has spoken to the players and that he is Iron Sport. Thank you so much for the cheer.
Thank you so much, dude.
And that the players agreed to play. That's all we were told. So So it definitely,
which it's up to the players.
Yeah, when you hear that, you're like, okay, I guess.
Can I also be honest? Let's give some credit to the Finnish players. That must have been really hard for them to watch as well. For
oh my
them
God.
To also come
they were
out.
Absolutely devastated. Yeah, yeah. They were crying. Even when the players came back on, the Danish players were crying as they're warming up. As a fan, you feel terrible. You feel bad even watching.
Yeah.
It truly doesn't feel right. But then if you're told that the players agreed to play, then you're like, okay, if they can power through it, they spoke to Christian Eriksen, then maybe, you know, maybe I'm being too sensitive about it. If these professional athletes can handle this kind of trauma and then go back to play, they end up losing the game 1-0. Finland, a great goal. Denmark missed penalty from Højbjerg. But at this point, the game is not even really that important, right? Nobody's thinking about it. I can't imagine, you know, when they came back and finished that first half. That to me was the thing that almost to me just really pointed out, like, this game does not matter, because the players, they weren't tackling each other. They were just like, please end this half. You know, they just like, what are we doing? You sort of really felt that. And now we know that the details from UEFA was that they essentially had three choices. They had the option to obviously just play the game. They could have postponed it to the following day, to noon the following day, or Denmark would have taken, if they forfeited, it would have been a 3-0 loss.
3-0 loss.
So those are the only options that they had.
Do we know why they didn't just take the next day option?
The coach, from the post-game conference, the coach said that they didn't feel like it would have made a difference as far as like how they felt. So they just wanted to play the game. So there's no, it's a tough situation because of obviously scheduling, and it's a huge tournament. So you understand the bind UEFA might be in when it like, it's a domino effect. If they move this game, it's obviously going to affect pretty much every other game. So, but this is what I took from that. And as frustrating as it is for UEFA and the players and the position that they're in, I saw Aaron West, he had tweeted out something really great, which is basically like that the players agreeing to play is not really a genuine good faith thing that we should believe, because it's like when a player gets a concussion, you don't ask the player like, yo, you want to go back in? And the player goes, yeah, I'm good. We don't put the onus on the player because we know that they're just going to go play. So why with emotional trauma, we don't kind of look at it in to that serious a degree as well.
The other side of that coin is, and I think this is something that's forgotten a lot, is, you know, for a lot of people that play professional sports, especially soccer, international soccer, like outside of the U.S., soccer was probably, you know, the way through their childhood they dealt with trauma. You know, like the way I joke around when something bad happens, the way, you know, everyone has their own way of processing it. And I think for a lot of the players, you know, we've interviewed enough professional players who say, like, when they were young, they were poor and they were hungry and they were, you know, they had a bad home situation and, you know, their country was going through turmoil. But when those 90 minutes when they were on the pitch, that didn't matter. That didn't exist. That didn't happen. And, you know, I agree with you. I think you saw the players just, there was no, that you know, the game couldn't have been over fast enough. So,
yeah.
Well, I just want to give a little bit of credibility to maybe one or two of the three players were like, this might be easier than sitting with my own thoughts.
Sure.
Because I got to be honest, like, you know, even when bad stuff happens, the first thing I think about is like, what's the joke I'm going to be able to make on stage about this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And only as an adult do I realize like, oh, that's probably the way I'm processing the trauma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to I'm a bad person, because it's easier to not admit that I'm a bad person. You know what I mean? Or I'd rather do something else. So.
Mr. Protus 5000 said, would have been worse if they played the next day, to be honest. Which is,
yeah, I didn't know if there was a reason why they didn't. I agree. Look, I honestly think it's
100% subjective. Like, there may be some players that were fine playing. There were probably some players that were like, maybe next day. Maybe some players would have been like, forfeit. Maybe some players would have been like, let's play in 3 days. You know what I mean? But there's those were the options that they were given. We can Tim Atchison said, if I was playing, I wouldn't be able to sleep. You know?
Yeah, I mean, how? I agree with you, Tim. How? I like what Hot Mess Express 10 said, if you want to feature that comment. Because do you think it's a situation that, do you think this situation brings up the fact that these players are a bit overworked this season? A bit? I mean, they haven't had a break. And look, whatever condition led to Christian Eriksen's heart attack would not have not happened, or would not be there, had they had 2 extra weeks off. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Clearly there's something wrong with him, and we found out in a very rough way, but I'm glad he's alive and he can maybe take care of that. It may be the last time he plays. His heart might not be able to take it. There might be a condition in there. I don't think it's just straight up overworked, unless he was like severely dehydrated. And there were some people were saying like he was drinking a lot of energy drinks, you know, the past few weeks to try to like get his energy up for games and stuff. So there might be something else under it. It might not be like a genetic thing or something like that, but these players haven't had much of a break, and we're seeing injuries across the board. We're seeing like these players are stretched to the max. I mean, not all this stuff should be happening this year.
Yeah, it's its own debate. I you know, for some, it's interesting because, you know, some players, you know, one player might feel overworked, and then another player who's not, you know, a star player, who's not playing in international tournaments, probably would love to play more games and be more involved and things like that. So are we asking a lot of players? Of course. Do these players get routinely tested regularly, test their heart, test, you know, the Inter Milan?
I thought more.
Well, the Inter Milan doctors, they said that they do all the regular tests on...
Hold on. What would you say if you're the Inter Milan doctor? You wouldn't say like, maybe we shouldn't...
No, but they would not hide some sort of condition.
I think they're negligent in any way, shape, or form, and I'm not saying that they're hiding a condition, but are we really... I think from here, we're going to find new procedures on how we verify that these players are capable of playing. I think, you know, the that sports bra looking thing that they wear, mm-hmm. maybe there should be a heart monitor in that. If you're monitoring their sweat and you're monitoring where they're running, maybe there should be a heart monitor in there, just in case someone's heart gets to a point that's dangerous limits, we can pull them out of a match and make sure that we could find out what's wrong with them before the heart attack, as opposed to in light of.
Nick Lace just mentioned somebody named Hank Gathers. That's similar to Hank Gathers, but I don't know who that is. I'm looking at him now, but he's a basketball player who played.
Oh, he died while shooting a free throw. Yeah, there was a movie about his life. He had a heart condition and he wanted to keep playing.
Okay.
He shot a free throw, and as he was running back, he just collapsed, and that was it, the end of him.
Oh,
granted,
wow.
There were no defibrillators and stuff back then, but yeah.
College basketball player. Yeah, this is, I mean, it made me also think about Clint Dempsey, who had to, he couldn't play for a year because they discovered a heart condition, and he played a little bit more and then eventually retired. But
about that. We found that heart condition out not while he was playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So the fact that there is a, you know, credit to, you know, just modern science. And obviously, you know, that we have to, all the medical staff that were obviously there with Christian Eriksen. It's the reason he is still alive. Like those moments are so crucial. And dude, he was 29 years old. We don't know, I saw people basically saying, we don't know what caused it.
I'm sure they're going to find an underlying issue. This doesn't seem like something that came from exacerbation of like, you know, their physical capabilities or something.
Yeah, look, I'm going to assume that with something this serious, I can't, you know, especially if they don't know exactly what caused it. Christian Erickson, he's not playing again.
Do you see what
again.
David from Tampa said? David from Tampa, is this about the Christian Erickson story? He said, Davide Astori's doctor had to... Oh, Davide Astori is the player. Had to serve suspended year sentence because he signed off on being able to play despite some irregularities.
I don't know who that is, Davide Astori. I don't know.
That's also something people don't talk about is the pressure these team doctors are in to...
Italian
push
player.
The players.
He played for Milan, Pontisola, and Milan. So
he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show just because you can run a lot doesn't mean your heart's in the best condition to be able to run a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get yourself checked.
Serie A. David from Tampa said, Serie A has very tight restrictions on cardiovascular problems, and I've seen that it could be likely he won't be able to play in Italy anymore after what happened. Yeah, that's kind of the main thing with Erickson. I don't see him... if they don't know specifically what caused this and how to possibly prevent it, how could he play again? Why would he take the chance? It's just right. such an incredible risk. I mean, even with my own brother, he got two stents put in, and after that he was able to play and be active and things like that. But there, I don't see with such a high profile player and playing in one of the top leagues in the world, I don't see how any club would take a risk. And I also don't think Christian Eriksen should take the risk.
Unless his doctors find a thing that, they don't think that this will happen again. Maybe that,
Yeah.
I also don't want to sit here and speculate on his health condition or his medical condition, but I would assume moving forward, we're not going to see him running around a pitch.
Yeah, yeah. So all generally just wild and scary. And it's going to be, what these Euros are going to be remembered for. It's a traumatic thing. A lot of people saw it. It is gonna live with me probably forever, and the only thing at least for me, it's maybe more mindful of it. My family deals with high cholesterol, and I've had several family members pass away from cardiac arrest and heart conditions and things like that, and it's just something we need to have the least amount of stigmatism. Go to the doctor, check all that shit out, so don't play with that stuff, because people can be gone way too soon over something that is 100% preventable. Yeah. If you're just like a little bit responsible with that stuff,
dude. I go to the doctor for high blood pressure. It runs in my family. What am I going to do? Even if I was Christian's weight, I'd have that issue. Sometimes you can't fight genetics, guys. Go out there and get yourself checked. Stop thinking you're a goddamn superhero. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what condition you're in.
Pepe Luchas just said the protocols for FIFA and NFL and all these big sports are a joke. For years, the medical staff had to go based off the player's judgment. If the player gives a thumbs up, then they were good to go on. Doesn't mean the medical staff is bad. It's just the protocols of the sport.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about doctors that were here smoking cigarette in the patient's face, and you think that concussion ain't bothering you? And he's like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "See, he's asking already smart questions,
Okay, he's observant. Yeah.
Nero Nation said Antonio Puerta died on the pitch for Sevilla, and I believe Nero Nation brought it up before as well. Yeah, I mean, people watch that, and that's horrific. What do you say? I don't even know. Like, if I was an announcer during that, I'd be like, dude, cut my mic. Yeah. I don't have anything. I have no way. And shouts to who was calling that game? It wasn't Ian Dark. What was the guy's name? At least in America. I mean, he was very, poetically emotional and insightful. And I thought didn't try to make too much of the moment for themselves. And I thought offered a very calming voice.
Yeah, I don't know who was on the broadcast for ESPN. Let us know, because I forgot who it was. It was definitely not on my mind at that point. But look, if you saw it and in all the news, and it was difficult to see, yeah, definitely it doesn't hurt to like talk about it or share with people, because yeah, it affected everybody in their own way. Okay, so let's move on with Derek Ray. Derek Ray was on the call. That's right.
He was great.
Okay, let's talk about some other stuff with the Euros. Just a couple of the results since it began.
Any shocks to you?
Is this okay? Yeah. Any surprises? I would say, no surprises so far. Actually, you know, maybe, I thought Scotland was going to get a draw against the Czech Republic before, you know, those two goals. And that was the only one. You want to believe in Scotland a little bit because of, yes, their tough history with international tournaments. People are excited to see them back in the Euros.
I'm going to say Slovakia versus Poland. Big shock.
I watched this game and, you know, it's always the Robert Lewandowski show, and you kind of expect him to show up. The dude,
that's why I'm like, find a goal?
He doesn't touch the ball. He doesn't touch the ball.
He got nobody, man.
Nobody's going to get him the ball. He doesn't. And if he does touch the ball, there's three dudes on him. Yeah, right. There's not enough of a threat in the midfield.
What about Spain versus Sweden drawing? I think it was Vinegar Strokes put that. Yeah, that was a big one. Spain once again, man. Alvaro Morata,
bruh,
that guy is just stealing a check. I mean, good God.
He had look, it wasn't an open net per se, but he should have at least, if he's gonna miss, hit the keeper at least, you know,
right?
Like, you can't, that's not the way to miss that goal. Spain, what was the possession again? I think it ended
at like 82%, right?
85 to 15% for Sweden. It's not even a game at this point. There's only one team on the pitch when it comes to that. It's comical when you see that number. But this is what we expect from Spain. I don't know if we mentioned it on the show or we were doing some other stuff or we had done other podcasts. We asked that question, who's going to score for Spain? And they 100% should have scored. They should have at least 85% scored in this game.
I would say so. And also, how does that entire country not have a better striker?
That's a good question.
It's your whole country. They know they're allowed to pick everybody, right?
There's a lot of good players there.
They got to go back to playing that 4-6-0. Remember they did that at the Euros? What was that? 2000 and...
But how many...
God, was that 13 maybe?
How many... Look at the possession. What else could they do?
Yeah, but that's also possession for possession's sake. You know what I mean?
Who else could they, do they really have? I mean, Moreno went in. Pablo Sarabia went in as well. But, you know, none of these guys are just like, outside of Moreno, I mean, they're like the other two guys are just like faster, but they're not more lethal strikers. So
I think they would have done better with Adama Traore being a bit more direct.
Maybe.
A little bit more direct on the wing, you know? They ain't got no attackers.
Somebody said Robin Olsen made huge saves for Sweden. I hope Everton brings him back. That's right. He's the backup keeper for Everton. There was also a great, I think Sweden had like one or two really great chances that they missed as well. This could have been a win for them as well. But no, bad, just a ridiculous game. That is just, Spain should win that game 10 out of 10 times. But Sweden, we they're going to be defensive. Luis Enrique has to figure out something to get out of that. Make sure he gets out of that damn group. Okay.
We got to bring up Austria versus North Macedonia, which I did not think we would bring this match up. But you know what happened with Arnautovic, right?
I do.
All right, so Arnautovic scores. You know, look, the guy looks like he, you know, ran into the Capitol on January 6th. Turns out he also thinks like that.
No, so, okay, before you finish that.
Okay.
That, from what I read, from what I understand, is that what he was doing was not a white supremacist thing. It was
given the okay symbol.
No.
It is the okay symbol.
Yeah. He was doing the okay symbol. But what he was doing, apparently in the Balkans, that means something related to like effing your mom.
Yeah. No, that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
It was the okay symbol, right? Which a lot of people interpret as the white power symbol because it's used that way. but he was not doing that. But he was saying some racist things. Now, when you think racist, you think I mean towards like, you know, people who are Jewish or black. No. Specifically to Balkans or whatever.
Albanians. That's what
he was saying, I'm banging all your Albanian moms. He was saying something along those lines.
Yeah.
Along those lines. But David Alba ran over and in the oddest, I didn't know why. I'm like, why is he doing this?
Mm-hmm.
He squeezed his cheeks so he couldn't talk anymore.
Yeah,
and he looked angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what kind of celebration is this? You know? And then it turns out David Alba knew what he was saying was disrespectful, at least from what we're hearing and what we're reading, and stopped him from continuing to yell horrific things at Albanians. And by the way, just historically, not a group you want to yell disrespectful things to. You know?
They tend to remember those things. Right?
I feel like the word vendetta is a commonly used thing in the Albanian culture. And that's just from Albanians. We know who've told us these things.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it was a it's a pretty incredible image. Let me see if I can pull it up.
By the way, Luke Stergio said Spain's missing out on Carlos Gil. Yeah, sure. Robert from LA said all of Poland's problems can come down to Chesney. Alexis can relate. Do not even bring up that name. Paco Alcacer. The funny thing about Paco Alcacer is everyone's like, we don't even know how he scores. He's not that gifted. Bruh, you need him. Stop disrespecting him.
This is the image from that look, I mean, this is there's something very iconic about this image. It's just like
a statue.
It has like so much meaning behind it. It's a black man basically telling a white man like you need stop the race. The only way to stop the racial, you know, kind of epithets and anything. It's just like we gotta physically hold your mouth shut because nothing else works.
Like he actually choked him too. He's got his hand on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
But the palm of the hand that holding the mouth is also pressing up against his throat. So I don't know if you saw after he was kind of like choking and he needed to put his hands on his knees to kind of catch his breath, which is good. Good for you, dude. Because you were yelling some really disrespectful stuff.
When it comes to these matches and we know how Europe has clearly centuries of war and history and things that are not going to be let go in our lifetimes. So for the most part, you could just like, yo, Alaba's like, yo, Marco, we're working right now. We don't need this. Like it's North.
Also, stop getting kicked off the goddamn squad, bro.
clearly he's a very, you know, a passionate dude and clearly wants to win and wants to, you know, and who knows the amount of, like, we know about trash talk during, like league matches, right? Obviously everybody has their rivalries, but it goes to another level when it becomes international and you're talking trash on behalf of your country and there's clearly a boundary and you know when it can go too far. Arnautovic clearly is going too far, even if he's like it's the traditional kind of just trash talk, but as soon as you start talking about mothers and you start
that's fine if you pointed at a specific person.
Yeah.
Or just said to all the fans, I'm banging all your moms. That's funny.
Yeah.
But why has it got to be a bang?
When you add the nationality to it.
Right. Now, why you got to quantify it, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, when you add the nationality, you're getting to a bad place when, you know, when your teammate needs to hold your mouth shut. So, yes. So, yeah, a crazy game. But a goal from North Macedonia, which is like... the country is super like new, right? It was like
it was always Macedonia. They just added North because of the argument about the land, about the name.
Yeah, yeah, but it used to be Yugoslavia. Macedonia is a fairly new country.
Yeah, Macedonia is part of that block. Yeah,
yeah. Well, we know historically of Macedonia, Macedonians, but yes, for the in the new maps, you know, it hasn't been around that long. Okay,
right.
Okay. So, any other matches? Crimson Pizza Alaba trying to keep his homie from getting them all kicked out of the club. That's right, bro. You're going too far. You drank too much. He had too many incredible Hulks. You know.
Yeah, dog. You speaking wild brazy to these security guards. I need to get you out of here.
Okay. A couple other results. Wales tied with Switzerland. Belgium 3-0 against Russia, and also Romelu Lukaku. This was the game that happened right after the Finland Denmark match, and Romelu Lukaku, you know, some people were saying that match shouldn't have even been played, but
I would totally understand if they didn't, to be honest with you.
Under you know school of Lukaku, he scores his goal and goes to the camera and says, Chris, I love you, and it was another just beautiful thing to see, man. Okay, what else? Let's go to the next couple games. And then today, Hungary loses 3-0 to Portugal. They were doing fine for the most part. And then the last like 10 minutes of the game absolutely collapsed.
Also, Hungary just made it illegal to promote LGBTQ services to people underage. So take the mels, bruh.
And France defeated Germany 1-0.
Which we watched here on Twitch. And
yeah, an
I got to
be
honest, if you're France, you should be a little worried. I know it's Germany, but you scored on an own goal. You couldn't really get much else. You deserve to have a penalty. Christian doesn't think it was a penalty. I do. That was a penalty all day, every day, even on Sunday. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Why are you... What's special about Sundays?
Because of the Sunday leagues. Sunday leagues, they usually play a little bit rougher. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's even a penalty then. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, it should have maybe been 2-0, right? But even if not scoring from like the run of play should kind of scare you a little bit.
I didn't leave, that game thinking that. One, that Germany was in any dire situation per se, and I also was not super impressed by France. I think credit to Germany. I think they did well in the offside trap, right? Mbappe got caught all day. He was not
all
really outside of the quote unquote penalty or non penalty that Mats Hummels. He wasn't. You know, Mbappe didn't. He got caught a lot on those offside traps. So
is that the way to beat France?
Maybe. I mean, it's only the first game, so we're seeing at least. I don't know if this is a template per se, but you know what? Maybe it is a way to beat France, but we're gonna need some faster center backs.
Yeah. A striker, a real striker. No offense, Serge Gnabry, not a striker.
Okay. Look, they were trying something, maybe like a false nine kind of deal with Gnabry.
A false no? Germany jokes, folks. Germany jokes. Hold on. Stream Nilo just said, I can see Germany not getting through even with the third place eligibility. Do you think Hungary stands a chance?
Yeah, there's
no differential alone, bro. Germany can lose every match. They're going to be all right.
Okay.
So, well, that's not true. They'd have to win the match against Hungary, or at least draw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's obviously two of the third place teams out of the six groups will not be moving forward. So I'm assuming out of that group, As long as they all literally beat up on Hungary, the other three teams should be fine. Yeah, I assume
But it is a bunch of tough matches against them. I take that back. Stream Nilo might be right.
I guess it is a possibility. Okay, so
Portugal does look good too.
The obviously Euros are continuing. We won't be able to live stream and do watch alongs for the next few days. Alexis will be in Los Angeles. I'm going to be going to Austin for the Austin FC home opener, which I'm excited about. So that should be super cool. So get to check out that new stadium, and we're going to another MLS team that has a new stadium before NYCFC. You hate to see it. Okay.
Yeah. The tour of all the new stadiums before NYCFC has it.
Nick Lay said, how about the results in the COVID ball? CONMEBOL Copa America. That's it. We could talk a little about Copa America. It's just been just a terrible start. It's just a terrible tournament.
Dude, just give the trophy to Brazil. Can we just move on?
The tournament is great and obviously historic, but like all the COVID positive.
It's just such a tough time to play it.
Yeah. I mean, these countries, it was supposed to be in Argentina and Colombia. Both scrapped it. They put it in Brazil where COVID is rampant.
Ravaging.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be played there. Some people are suggesting it be played in the United States. Which is probably more reasonable, but that wasn't going to happen. So Brazil's hosting
it. Copa in America? Huh?
Paulo Minnesota said, I see your scarf, Christian. Yes, this is the Minnesota, the new second division women's team in the USL Women's that is going to be starting soon. Shout out to them. They sent me this scarf. Happy to show some love. Okay.
That's dope.
Y'all going to be at the Gold Cup. We haven't decided to yet, but we are going to be traveling a little bit to a couple matches this summer. So you
Nick
might
Lynch said I'm going to be in LA getting yelled at by D for going out the night before. Again, I'm performing stand-up, and I haven't told her yet, but she might have just heard me. So let's see how this goes.
Okay, wait. I should get the results. The Copa America, has they're doing – it's like two groups – right?
It's Group A and Group B. Brazil's at the top of Group A. Paraguay is at the top of Group B.
Well, it's a North and South grouping.
Okay.
So the top four teams from each group go on to the knockout stages. So the early games, I mean, look, Colombia won, Brazil won. It's looking, they just had the World Cup qualifiers that they've been playing, so it's just pretty much looking exactly the same.
Bolivia's only going to win if they're home, yada yada yada.
So the World Cup qualifiers for CONMEBOL exclusively on Fubo TV.
Look at that jersey, baby. And Fubo, if you want to get Fubo TV, just go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans. Get yourself a little discount, an extra long trial.
Mm-hmm. Some of the notable things. Chile,
did somebody just win a slot machine?
Elaine has ice that she was shaking around or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Tell her, make all the noise during the podcast she wants.
So what was I going to say? Notable Argentina. Let's talk about Lionel Messi because, I mean, these are the main. Messi and Neymar are the kind of stars of Copa America. And this is where I would say most of the pressure is on those two individuals. Messi scoring another gorgeous free kick against Chile. But like usual, Argentina letting Messi down because Chile got a penalty. I think it was Nicolas Tagliafico with the challenge that led to the penalty. And another 1-1 draw for Chile and Argentina. You just like Messi is running out of opportunities. Is he going to get win something for Argentina finally?
No.
You don't think he's doing anything here?
No.
Nope. It's like you watch. It's similar to when we talk about Poland and Lewandowski, kind of a similar situation. You know, the people in South America, they know how to handle Messi. There's never some tournament where he's just like, I mean, not for years, but there's not really any tournament where he's just absolutely dominating and crushing everybody, you know, in South America. He can do it in La Liga. He can do it in Champions League with teams that don't see him as often. But every manager in South America is like, we know how to handle this young man. Let's do what we got to do. It's messy ball. And they seem to handle it pretty well. So I'm hoping Argentina has a good Copa America. I think they get to the final. You know, I could see an Argentina Brazil final would be incredible, but I don't see how Brazil is losing this.
The Stream Nilo said they never found a decent striker to put next to Messi as a pressure valve. You know, you figured Dybala would be the guy, right? I mean,
yeah, Dybala's not there, right?
No. Also, Icardi just not really that guy. You know what they needed to do? They needed to naturalize Alexis Sanchez back in the day. That would have been the dude.
Okay. Well, he's Chilean and he has trophies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because of that.
So, okay. Anything else that we
should... Happy birthday to Klopp, Jurgen Klopp. When we're recording this, it's his birthday.
Oh, congratulations, Jurgen Klopp.
Right?
Be kinder to Everton.
Right. Cool. Also, come on our show, Jurgen Klopp.
Luke Sergio said, Messi needs back surgery for all the years he's carried the Argentinian national team on his back. Yeah, dude. You know, but a lot of people are not, you know, and this sounds a little flippant or mean, but a lot of people are not going to remember the majority of the players that played with Messi on the Argentinian national team.
No.
It is
only their nephews. As they're like repeating over and over and over again.
He needs to have a good tournament. He needs to, because I'm going to assume this is his last Copa America. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I would expect it to be for sure.
You know, Copa America, World Cup, maybe one more Copa America, but I can't see him.
No.
2026, you think he's playing 2026 World Cup?
I will say this. If he's playing in like, even if he's playing in MLS at the time, you still got to have him on the pitch. If he's able to play, you got to have him on, right? Even if he's like a bench player and yeah, you sort of will him to get a championship, you know?
Yeah. The Crimson
and
Pizza
it still won't be enough for the Argentinian fans, by the way.
Crimson Pizza said, can't believe with both Messi and Agüero, they never got it done. It's a different, you know, we've been watching the World Cup qualifiers, you know, more intently. Obviously, it's on Fubo TV and we're watching them a lot more. But the, you know, we're more, at least for me, CONCACAF is the thing I'm like, that's what I'm more of an expert in, and feel more confident. And now I'm watching more CONMEBOL. There's clearly like a deeper history with all these matches. Like
the first like eight World Cups were
exactly. Yeah. Well, because in CONCACAF, it's like, you know, we gotta play dirty. We're these smaller nations. We gotta do whatever we can to win. But that isn't really the case with these countries. Like they're all kind of equitable. To some degree, like the difference between like Brazil and Ecuador is not like, it's not a chasm. You know what I mean? It's not tremendous. It is kind of like Ecuador can have a good day and actually beat Brazil, as opposed to CONCACAF, which is like, yo, we got to do whatever we got to do because this is, we're playing against a powerhouse.
Yeah. So it is different, but I will say that.
So
the gap between Brazil and Ecuador is pretty big.
But I'll say this: it's just that the there isn't the same level of like intimidation that there is between a bigger nation and a smaller nation, as like it would, you know, like in CONMEBOL, it feels like a little bit closer, the intimidation factor, as opposed to in CONCACAF. So that's why you sort of see
any El Salvadorans and Hondurans, let us know how you feel about what Christian is saying about you.
No, but that's what I mean. I think those you know, El Salvador and Honduras are not like, they're not really intimidated by the United States, let's say, but they might be more intimidated by like Mexico.
Maybe. But yeah, I can see that.
And so, but the main thing is it's not like, oh, we're playing Messi, we're terrified here. It's like, no, tactically, right, we could handle this. We could figure this out. We can get a result. That's kind of like the main point I'm making. Okay. So, Copa America, I feel bad for Venezuela because they had six or seven players that had tested positive for COVID, including Joseph Martinez of Atlanta United.
Ridiculous.
It is. You see that? You're also like, bro, they were doing vaccines at Mercedes-Benz. What's going on?
I think he got his vaccine.
And he still tested positive.
Yeah, which can happen.
Which is possible, but you know, that was my first feeling. I'm like, all right, it seems like an unnecessary risk to take, but whatever. He was vaccinated. Okay, cool. We sorted that out. All right. But
that's what the vaccine is for, is to fight it once you get it.
Exactly.
And hopefully stop the spread, although I guess in locker rooms it doesn't work.
And in Brazil. A lot of people, I thought Brazil wasn't even going to play in the Copa America because Casemiro had mentioned in an interview saying that the players needed to talk about it because Brazil was not handling the virus very well,
and nope, a lot of people,
and the vaccine is not readily available. So, look, being in the United States, we have a bit of a privilege and luxury. Things are opening up a little sooner because a lot of people are vaccinated. So, yeah, we just obviously you don't want any more people to get this stupid damn disease. And I hope we can be rid of it soon. Okay,
please.
Anything else to discuss before we wrap up?
That's it, man. Congratulations to, best of luck to Christian Eriksen's family and to Christian Eriksen. Hopefully everything works out medically and to the players that played with him and then played against him. I hope that they're able to sort of, you know, compartmentalize what happened and deal with it in the right way. Because you have a big competition going on. I'm sure it's not easy to be able to do that. But yeah, we send all of our love.
Okay. All right. So yeah, just a reminder again to everybody, we will have a super fun show coming up this Sunday, 7 p.m. Football Sports Network. Sebastian Legette of the LA Galaxy will be joining us. U.S. Men's National Team just won Nations League with the U.S. Men's National Team. So
talk about it all. Wait till you see it. Trust me. We ask the questions.
Check it out. Watch it on TV. Listen to the podcast. Whatever. Whatever you need. So anything else, leave a review on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube. That's where the full episodes of Prem Show live. If you want to keep seeing the videos, they only last 14 days on Twitch. So I think that's pretty much it. And Nutmeg is here. Nutmeg just woke up. He is next to me. And luckily he didn't bark too much, I think, during this.
The ice machine made more noise than Nutmeg today.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. If you're listening to this and you're going to be in Austin for the game, hit me up. Maybe I'll say hello. See you at the what is it, Q2 Stadium? I think that's what it's called.
Thank God for the tour, else I'd be uncomfortable. If you're going to be in Los Angeles, so will I. I don't know if I'll have time to meet up because it's my anniversary. But whatever, hit me up. Maybe we'll do something. I'm gonna try to see if I could do a spot. I don't know if I want to though.
Okay, well, yeah, I think I think D just chimed in. D's in the chat.
Wow, look at that! My entire calendar is full, actually, for some reason.
Okay. Hank Apotamus says, let's go. Can't wait. I couldn't get tickets, but I'm pumped. Oh, I feel bad. There's a couple of people who hit me up and they were like, I've been trying. I can't get Austin FC tickets. How the hell did you get them? I don't know what to tell you. Man, yeah. Look, do a podcast that becomes a TV show.
You'll get all the tickets you want.
It's the best way to. That's
you know,
how
they
I
should
do.
Have given. They should have taken the ticket they offered me. And mm-hmm. They should have given it to us as a giveaway.
Oh, okay.
Would have been smart.
Let them know. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. Everybody on Twitch, we appreciate you. It's always super fun. Every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Come back. Always have a great time doing this. All right. We are done, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!